Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Sponsoring this week on Staying Relevant is Hinge. I am very, very excited about this one, Samuel.
Oh, Hinge, the dating app designed to be deleted. It is very up your street, to be fair.
There is an opportunity for you to be involved, though, Sam.
Any excuse to meddle in your love life. I love it.
With voice prompt, my best friends take on why you should date me. You can actually lean on your friends to hype you up to potential matches. Try not to get too excited, Sam.
I would be the best hype man for you. You know I would. I'd talk about your smell and then move on to how you always take care of anyone in your group on a night out and also how you bring little snacks in your briefcase. They're very endearing qualities.
Wow. Just wow, Sam. As we found out there, it's not easy to see your own green flags, especially if you're humble and self-deprecating like me. Add that to your list, Samuel. But it is easy for your friends to do so on your behalf.
Now, I'm glad you like my suggestion, Peter, and download the dating app Hinge and try its voice prompts today. Welcome to Staying Relevant, the podcast with two best friends, Pete Wicks and Sam Thompson, on their quest for ever-long fame.
Everlong fame.
Everlong fame. It's a word.
It's not. I didn't really know where you were going with that. You started it. You had sort of finished it, but it didn't really make sense, did it?
Ever staying fame.
Ever present fame.
Yeah, any others? That's what we want. We want to be famous.
Any other words you want to put in instead of sort of present?
Relevant.
Relevant. Ever relevant fame?
Ever.
Okay, great. As always, I'll be drinking and I will be swearing. So if you don't like that, go f*** yourself.
We love you, though. Now, you can catch us on YouTube every single Friday, and this podcast comes out every single Monday. Now, go.
Thank you. You just keep cutting me off.
Sorry. There.
God, the reviews are right. You do cut in. I've forgotten where it was that. Oh, no, that's it. Follow us on Staying Relevant Podcast on Instagram, Staying Relevant Podcast on TikTok, and search Staying Relevant on YouTube to watch all the extra bits on a Friday.
Yep, because we love some extra
bits. Great review and do all that shit and all.
Now, we're joined today by somebody who is a titan in the broadcast game. Someone I've looked up to for many a year. We share the same agent. I think that's the only reason he's here. It's Mr. Jordan North.
Got a good barber. Mate. I'm going to Turkey, but then apparently...
So are we!
I'm going to go to Turkey because everyone says you can get it done in Manchester now, but...
Sam's got a sunroof. God, I've got... Like there...
No, he looks good. No,
don't lie to him. He's going to have a fucking sunroof. And mine's, I'm getting a 5-head now, the 4-head plan, and it's fucking, it's starting.
Are you
going
to shave the whole thing off?
I'll do it. I'll do it when it goes a bit quiet. Because they say you're better doing it now than when it goes completely.
Yeah.
But I'm definitely going. It runs in the family and stuff.
You're so mad. But the thing is, it's just got to shave your barnet. It's just, for me, that's a bit much.
And then wear a hat, haven't you?
Yeah, but for like months. Mm. I don't think I want to shave the top.
Well, you have to, otherwise you'll just have a fryer tuck, won't you?
There's so many people that have got
You can't just shave that bit and then leave a fringe.
Yeah, there's so many... I've seen some celebs on TikTok that have they've got them, and you'd be surprised how many people have had it done.
Bradley Cooper, I learned the other day, has had it done.
Yeah,
shut up.
They all have. They all... Loads of people have.
Beckham's had it done.
Yeah, oh, Beckham's had it done. In the 60s, they all wore... Two pieces of whatever.
No, they used to glue it off.
Yeah, what's his name? Sean Connery in all of the Bond ones. It was a syrup.
And what you've got now is they do hair systems, they call them now. Have you seen these?
No.
Fucking hell, they're serious. So basically, they'll shave the top of your head and they'll glue this fucking thing onto your head and it's like actual hair, and then they'll cut it like normal hair. It doesn't grow.
Yes.
You can wash it, you can do it, and they last about 6 weeks, and then it's like basically laying the carpet.
Yeah.
They lay a carpet and then every 6 weeks you change your carpet.
Yeah.
What happens if like you're out on a night out and it's like the 5 and a half part of the week, and so like it's getting
It doesn't come off. It just starts getting a bit tatty because the hair's obviously, it's not live, is it?
Yeah.
So that's why you do it. It doesn't come off. It doesn't start slipping back like slowly down.
Imagine you just got something like flipping off like, but, in the wind.
Yeah, my mate had it done and he'd been bald for about 20 years and then suddenly turned up one day at the pub.
That's when you're like...
Honestly, yeah, he went from like Jason Statham to Jason Donovan. It was fucking mental. And then he hates it because every time I see him, I go, come on, come here, boy. And he's like, what? And then I offer him like bowls of water for it.
It's like the Mickey Flanagan sketch. Have a look.
Yeah.
We are joined by the... I've wanted you on here for ages, by the way.
Bless you.
He's a very busy man. He has his own podcast, Help, I Sexted My Boss. Which is flying at the moment. And I'm a huge fan. I'm sorry, that noise you're hearing is Peach opening another beer.
Good lad.
During the intro as well, which is just absolutely awful, it's Mr. Jordan North.
Thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure. It is.
It's an honour.
Thank you. Bless you.
Were you forced to come here?
Well, no, not all. I mean, it helps that me and Sam have the exact same agent, so...
I mean, you have got the exact same agent, but it's still taken months to get you here.
Yeah.
Is it convincing?
I was meant to do it a couple of months ago, but I think... Didn't one of yous have the shits or something? Or you had an upset stomach?
Hello.
Or was it an upset stomach?
Yeah.
Something
yeah,
like
hello,
that.
Hello, sir.
And that's so weird. I think I'm psyching away because I woke up that morning and it had loads on and I just knew that it was going to get cancer.
Really?
Yeah, so weird. I don't know why, but I was like...
It's because Sam lives mainly off pepperamis.
Oh, mate.
I love a pepperami and a raw mushroom. Delicious.
That's basically what
he eats. Delicious.
Do you like Lunchables as well?
Oh, I love a Lunchable. I love a Baby Bell.
Oh, Baby
Sometimes
Bell.
Sometimes when we do the podcast, Zara, his missus, packs a packed lunch for him.
Oh, really? That's sweet.
He's and very sweet.
She's a keeper.
She puts notes in it.
Oh, a little post-it note.
Yeah, she calls me Goose.
Yeah, it's fucking pathetic. Honestly, it makes me just... And if you're ever around them as well, they do little baby noises to each other and it makes me want to punch them both in the fucking head.
Everyone's got a mate like Pete, haven't they?
Everyone's like... Look at them and just think, fuck off. You know what I mean? It's really bad. Anyway.
Jordan, it's a pleasure having you here, man.
Thank you.
Basically, one of the main reasons is not only because I love your stories on your own podcast, but secondly, you are a man... our podcast is obviously called Staying Relevant.
It's a good start. You are a man.
Yep.
Just in case anyone was wondering.
You've got my pronouns right. Yeah.
You're a man. You're a he, him. And you are the definition of what we want to be. We're basically trying to stay relevant in an industry that is shooting past us, my friend. Shooting very quickly as well.
Wow.
Sam, he's basically his idol. Your podcast is flying. You're a radio phenomenon. Sam is trying to be everything that you are, and he's effectively just not as good.
I've got to look him in the eye now.
Why are you so good and Sam so bad?
Can
we start there? Why do you think Sam's terrible?
I don't think he's terrible. I actually think he's very good. And Sam's always himself, and I've met him a few times now. So that's my number one. I always say, just be yourself, especially on the radio. If you're trying to be someone you're not on the radio, or even on a podcast as well, people just see through it. It's all right on telly. You can get away with it a bit on telly, because telly's a bit shiny and a bit showbizzy.
I think it's best a bit shite.
No.
Telly's a bit shite.
But you know, you're just on telly for about an hour, but radio, you're on for 3-4 hours, and you've just got to be yourself.
You've been doing it for years now. I remember... And I mean, you've probably had this regurgitated at you like a million times, but when you were, who were you interviewing when you brought out the who do you support?
Burnley.
Burnley. You brought out a Burnley kit.
Yeah. Who was it for?
Who was it? Was it Margot Robbie?
No, you're getting me mixed up with Chris Stark. That was Chris Stark.
No, but you bought a football shirt out.
Didn't he do it with a Watford shirt?
You did it with a Burnley shirt.
Yeah, I've given a few people Burnley shirts before. Yeah.
I have to figure it out. Great start.
No, I know what you mean, but that was ages ago.
Yeah, mate, but that was one of the things.
I followed you from afar. I mean, I'd be worried.
Flattered.
Did you know from like a very early age that radio was the one for you?
Yeah. So my dad was in the army, so we moved around every 2 years. And every time you move somewhere, I'd always listen to the local radio because that gave you an idea of what the town or the place was all about, and I just became obsessed with radio. And then I used to go on my way to school and I'd be like, I want to do this for a living. And then I moved to Preston when I was about 14, And I was obsessed with a station called Rock FM, part of the Bauer Group, yeah, where we're here today. And it doesn't play rock music. It's like a pop station. And I always wanted to work on there. And yeah, I've wanted to do it since about 14, 15. I got to the age of probably 8 or 9 when I realised I was really shit at football. In fact, my dad told me. So then I thought, right, I'm not going to be a footballer, which most lads want to be when they're younger.
If you want to be a polo player, you posh fuck.
No, I didn't. I want to be a Chelsea footballer.
Oh, fair enough. And I never wanted to join the army like my brothers and the rest of my family. So I thought, I'm going to give this radio malarkey a go. And my dad were never convinced. He made me get a trade when I left school. I was
really?
I was a bricklayer for 6 months. But
you're bricky, we are.
Oh, I mean, I use the term loosely, Pete. Yeah, I was proper shit. I remember the boss saying to me, you are the worst apprentice I've ever had, but you're a good laugh. And in like lunch breaks and stuff, I remember once we were like working on this lift. I can't remember what it was. And I had to kneel down and put a hard hat on. And they were just throwing spanners and bouncing them off my head for about an hour. And that was, he went, that's a bit of work you've done all day.
I can imagine you standing there, be like, am I part of the team?
Yeah, that was pretty much me. And I remember my dad took me down to the builder's merchant and got me like a high-vis vest and some, he's never been so enthusiastic about my work, and some steel toe cap boots.
So when was your first big break then on radio?
So I went to,
You do local bits first?
Yeah,
sort of stuff, yeah,
I did voluntary radio. I worked at a station at Blackpool Pleasure Beach. I don't know if you know, it's a theme park.
Yeah,
I know it very well. Used to date a bird from Blackpool. What a fucking experience Blackpool is. Wow.
Pete is that one mate, especially now when you work. I've got one mate who Pete reminds me of, and I think, God, you're going to get me cancelled. I say to the mate when I go out with him, I'm like, please don't put me up on your Insta story. please don't tag me in that. Yeah, I worked at, it was called Kit Kat Radio when I worked there.
Kit Kat Radio.
And it was more of a, tannoy. I've told this story a million times, and people used to come in with a little slip and write the name on it and do a shout out. And I'll never forget the name as long as I live. This woman come in, hair tied up, leggings on, she was smoking a fag, and she went, will you give a shout out for our Ebony Louise? I went, yeah, sure. Is it a birthday? She went, no, we've lost her. I've not seen her for 2 hours.
No!
And I was like, right, you need to go to security. We're not allowed to, you need to go to security. And I'll never forget the name Ebony Louise. I was about 20 year old.
Did you do the shout out?
No, not allowed. They had to tell them to go to security. But it was like that. And I used to do like 6 hour shifts there. And then I left uni, and my first proper job I covered was Capital Northeast. So the I'm being like geeky here, but the Capital Network had just taken over Galaxy. Do you remember Galaxy Radio?
No.
It was more of a northern thing. Mm. It was this fucking great radio station. Anyway, they took over it, and I covered on overnights there, the graveyard shift.
What is the graveyard? What is actually the...
I think I was on 2 a.m. till 6.
Oh my fucking God.
What, how many days a week?
I did just a full week, Monday to Friday. Yeah.
Fuck me.
Yeah.
I bet you were a barrel of laughs at the weekend.
No, I wasn't.
Fucked, weren't you?
I know. I was buzzing because it was like my first proper radio show. Then I did Capital Manchester. I got weekends there. And then I got sacked after 6 months.
Why? Why?
So I like to think that it was because I wasn't suited to them, because I know what the type of I always wanted to be on Radio 1, and I was trying
I like
to
think I've got a 12-inch cock, but I haven't. What's the real story?
Because I was shy. I was rubbish, and I was trying too hard to be Chris Moyles, Scott Mills, and I was trying to be a Radio 1 presenter on Capital, which doesn't work. So I got sat from there. Then I just worked behind the scenes at Radio 5 Live. So I used to like write scripts for Richard Baker.
That's
it. Yeah, and Victoria Derbyshire, I worked with her, who I was in the castle with on I'm a Celeb. And then a mate I lived with, Daryl Morris, who works in radio now as well, said that Rock FM are looking for a weekend presenter.
And this is because you love Rock FM. You're like, here we go.
So I sent a demo in. I had to do 3-minute demo tape, and they put me on weekends. And then I got drive. I got drive in a mad way. I got pissed for a show. I missed a weekend show. It was the second weekend show I missed. And basically, we used to do a collection. It was called Cash for Kids. And it was at Christmas time, and they had loads of presents for underprivileged kids. And me and my mate came back from a night out, and I said, you can't let me fall asleep. I fell asleep last week, and I'll get the sack. So I went upstairs, made a brew, fell asleep, and I missed the show about an hour. And the next day...
You were in the building?
Yeah, in the building, missed the show. Next day, the boss pulls me in, and he presses play on... He said, why are we late? I said, my taxi didn't turn up, all this bollocks and stuff. And he presses play on CCTV. It was beautifully edited. And I'm asleep upstairs. You see us stumbling in arm. And my mate's downstairs. He's got all these presents open. He's doing the fucking keepy-ups. You remember that Ryan Giggs?
Yeah,
the worst one is, he's got this science experiment right? And he's doing it on the pool table in Rock FM. He's got shit bubbling up. I'm not even joking. He's got white powder all over his face. These kids' goggles on. We were pissed.
Yeah.
Very, like, not with it. And he said, you're suspended for 2 weeks. And then I had to go and meet the big boss in Manchester. And he'd just started. And he said, I'll be honest with you, I've never heard of you. But I heard your show and it's pretty good. So I got promoted to drive about 6 weeks after that.
Basically because he was like, I need to figure out this kid.
And the boss was like that. And then I went and did bits at Radio 1. And
so you mentioned like Chris Moyles. And have you got like a radio icon, someone that you think is just the best of the best that you've tried to emulate, or you'd like to have a career similar to?
Yeah, there's
the people that you've looked up to, basically.
There's three. There's Chris Moyles.
Yeah.
I think like his show in the early 2000s when I was growing up and stuff was just, I mean, they had like 8-9 million listeners. It was
crazy.
And they never played any music. Right. You're doing really well. I've seen your radio figures. I've seen it on your Insta and stuff, didn't I? Oh, I've seen hits posted.
Come on, baby.
So there was Miles, Scott Mills.
Yeah.
And Sarah Cox.
Sarah Cox.
And someone told me ages ago that Sarah Cox just writes little things down in her notes and then turns it into a story. And that's kind of what I do now. So them three.
I used to love Chris Tarrant.
Oh, and he was on Capital.
He was on Capital Breakfast.
Didn't that's how Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Come yeah.
Out? Did they create it on Capital?
They did. I don't know. I just agreed. I haven't got a clue.
Something to do with that. Him and his mate made it. So this might be bollocks, but him and his mate kind of came up with it on Capital.
Chris Tarrant actually came up with it.
I'm pretty sure. I do talk a lot. I do chat a lot of shit. A friend of mine says, the more sure you are, the more I know it's wrong. Because I'll go, no, mate, it was definitely 20 quid. Or mate, it was definitely 2010. But I think him and his friend came up with it and they kind of still get money for the format because it's massive in the world.
He was joking, but you sort of like came up in a way that we couldn't really do nowadays, which is like, I mean, I used to get told that Chris Tarrant would have like a cigar in the studio and he'd have a bottle of whiskey just sort of like chilling there.
Yeah.
And like, you just couldn't do any of that stuff now. Was it more fun back then?
Yeah, I reckon so. And back then, people did 8-9 minute links and you just can't do it now. People's attention spans just, they're like, you've got to be like, shut the up, play a song. Plus, especially if you've got ads to play. But if you've got a big name, you could do it. But you hear about people smoking all the time and having... There's a video I watched on YouTube not long ago, Chris Evans doing his morning, Friday morning show on Radio 1 with Pat Guinness.
Oh, yeah.
Hello,
he used to get Guinness delivered to
fucking, see, I'd actually want to do radio if it was still like that.
Yeah.
It'd be fucking great.
You should do radio. I think you'd be good at... would you?
It would be a struggle to find a show that I would fit into.
You'd be surprised.
You know what I mean? I'm not like fucking old... Kids TV presenter over here.
Michael Whitehall just told me I should be a Kids TV presenter. I think that's on record.
Have you got a radio voice like Sam?
I did. I got told I needed one when
Dave.
I started. Hi, it's Geordie Jord here. I've heard you a few times and you sound pretty normal.
Do you know what? It's because I started with a radio voice and they were like, don't you fucking dare.
Yeah.
They were like, a temptation to do it.
Oh, mate, so much. I don't know why it is either.
You used to have to do a radio voice and especially when I first started, they'd give you a radio name, but mine, and if I had a pound, everyone thinks mine's a radio name, Jordan North from the North. When I was on Capital, there was the Bassman.
The Bassman?
Yeah.
How would you intro yourself?
You'd be like, all right, it's Jordan. The Bassman's up next. And he was called the Bassman. Who else was? There's still people going now. There's very famous people who've still got a radio name because it used to have to be two syllables.
If you had to give Sam a radio name, what would it be?
I think Sam Tom.
Sam Tom.
That's quite good, actually.
Sam Tom.
Yeah.
I would have gone with Posh Twat, but Sam Tom works.
Hello, it's Posh Twat bringing
you... Are you that posh, though? I can't work it out because you're a bit
he's
cockney.
Dumbing, he's dumbing it down, right?
So,
we've just had the Whitehalls in, right?
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, mate, I've never felt so common in my life. At one point, I genuinely thought they thought I was going to mug them. But now that... I'm guessing you're a working classy background.
Yeah, good guess.
Sam is obviously not, so he's trying to dumb it down a bit now. So we'll start throwing in things like, you know what I mean, geezer?
Yeah.
And it just don't work out. When the Whitehalls were here, he was like, may I just ask a question? Yeah.
So
he went back into...
If you're working class, did you ever say to your dad, what's for tea? And he'd say, shit with sugar on.
No, no. We'd be in a two up, two up, no, two down.
No, see, I've only just talked about two up, two down.
My grandma had two up, two downs.
So did, yeah.
Whereas Sam, I mean, listen, your dad was never there for dinner anyway. It was the butler that used to cook it.
Hey, you were fucking born in jail. No, so I'm not having that.
Yeah, you actually? Yeah. Oh, right. Oh, fair play.
No, no. No, Sam tells the story that I was born in jail, raised in juvie, and that I haven't seen my dad popped out for a packet of fags. And he just never came back. And that's why I still smoke, because I'm just hanging on hoping he'll come back. And you might want one.
Yeah. He's trying to connect with the dad that never was.
Yeah.
We all just had a cigarette before, didn't we?
We did, yeah. It was really nice, actually. I feel like we bonded quite heavily over that.
Why do you make everything so weird? It's just, we just all had a cigarette.
Yeah, but do you know what I mean? I feel like the energy was quite nice.
He's a sweet boy. A lot of people say this about me and I get the same vibes. What do I get called? A Labrador.
Yeah.
Just happy and...
Yeah. You're like one of those mangy cats. That like sort of like you look at it and you go, you're an evil bastard. You are.
Are you talking about like the garbage cat from like
Aristocats?
Yeah,
you're the kind of mate. You've got a bit of black stuff all over your fur, and no one quite knows what it is.
Everyone needs a mate like Pete. I've got two actually who just don't give a shit. They tell you as it is.
Yeah, but he's in this industry.
Yeah,
mate.
But there's not enough people like that, is there?
Well, this is the thing. Pete's almost become a bit of an icon, Jordan, to be honest. Like people are literally like, "Where's Pete Wicks, mate?" Hey.
You remind me. I did a podcast with John.
Marla, he's had it as well.
He's similar, just doesn't care.
He's fucking brilliant. Well, when we had Joe Marla on, he was one of the first guests we had, I think, when we started this podcast. And Sam sneezed and spat all his fucking shit all over his beard.
No, I mean, also he's fucking enormous. Yeah. I was terrified.
But like, and I genuinely thought that he was going to crush Sam's skull. No,
I basically sneeze, but sometimes you know it comes before and you go, and before you can get your hand up to your mouth, right? I didn't get it, so it literally half of it went like that in his beard, and he literally went like that, and like everyone paused. You know, it's like that silence. So like, I don't know where we're going to go from.
Apart from me, I went, he's just spat in your beard, you know. I can't believe you've done that.
That's why you need a mate like Pete. That's what I was saying, because everyone else would ignore it, and Pete go, he's just snotted all over your beard.
Do you know what I do, though, quite a lot of the time, actually? So if we're ever out on a night out, I'll sometimes, knowing that I've got Essex hard man Pete behind me, I'll sometimes, you know, if there's ever an altercation, I'll be like, Pete.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does do that.
Push him to the front. And I'm a kicker, you see, Jordan. I like one of these.
I've never had a fight before, and I once got headbutted in Preston. That was a night out. And my mate went, you're not going to let that happen, are you? I went up to him, and everyone looked at me, and I went up and kicked him in the shin.
No.
What did he do?
And he laughed, and all my mates laughed, and that was ended the fight.
I love
it. He nutted me because I got in his taxi, like, cut my eye and everything. So I went up.
And you went up and kicked him in the
shin. At least you got him back, though, eh?
Yeah.
With your steel cap shoes on.
And he laughed, and all my mates laughed, and all his mates laughed. I was like, I'm really sorry. I'm not much of a fighter.
That sounds exactly like
they were very similar.
But what I was going to say is that you went for radio because the absolute love of radio, right? But then you've turned, you're huge TV. Like, you did The Jungle, you're presenting shows, mate. Was TV ever an avenue that you were like, this is something I'm going to go? Because we've tried it all, Jordan.
We
tried everything, mate.
Yeah, I mean, I still say now, as long as I'm on the radio, I'm happy.
Yeah.
And I know it sounds geeky, but I just love it. I genuinely love being on every day. It's a privilege. Like, after this today, I'm covering the chart show on Radio 1. And, like, people say, oh, you don't need to do that. Why? Because Jack, who's great, the main presenter, is off this week. And I'm like, I like doing it, even though I can't count backwards. And that's why I would have had a beer. I would have had a beer otherwise, but I've got to be on focus for that. But yeah.
Is TV any different then for you? Do you go on, do you get the nerves? You're like, oh, this isn't the same.
I get really nervous for tech. Like, I can do radio, I'm fine, but I get really nervous on stage. So my podcast, we've been doing tours now, and I get terrible stage.
Oh, what's that like? Because we were thinking of doing a live tour.
You should do a live tour.
Terrifying though, isn't it?
Everyone wants us to do a live tour, but the problem is that Sam thinks, I mean, when they first said to us that we were going to do a fucking live tour, Sam had the impression that we were going to be doing Wembley.
No, I mean, aim high. I get terrified. Saturday Night Takeaway as well, which I love doing. I get so nervous before.
Really?
And you should see me, I'm shaking like a shitting dog before we go on air. And we rehearse it loads. But yeah, I kind of fell into TV, but I do enjoy it.
Did you throw up on I'm a Celeb?
Well, that's how it all started. Yeah. And again, I didn't want to do I'm a Celeb, but
Did you do the Welsh in the castle?
Yeah, we was in the
castle.
You
got fucked over a little bit?
No, because I'm terrified of flying.
Oh.
So I didn't thought, I've dodged a bullet.
Have you seen
that? And I don't like snakes.
I've noticed
the funniest fucking thing.
I've only been
with
you about 40 minutes, and so far you've kicked someone in a shin, you're terrified of getting a lift, and you're terrified of flying. You're a massive pussy.
Yeah. that. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
literally 40 minutes.
Hate confrontation.
Do ya?
Yeah, oh, big time. And all my brothers.
You're a really nice guy, aren't
you? Oh, I don't know about that.
You are.
Thank you. All my brothers are in the army and stuff, so I'm completely different than that. Yeah, I do enjoy doing the telly. I don't know how I stay relevant. I've never really thought about it.
Well, I think you just keep getting more and more relevant because, firstly, probably because you are a really, really nice guy and you're quite authentic. You know what I mean? And I think that's really important. But also, you're just very good at what you do.
One thing I'll say as well, and I think this goes a long way, and you do see it, it's just don't be a knob.
Don't be a knob.
Right. So that's where I'm going wrong.
Yeah. No, it's just be nice. And like to people, to like I was a runner. I've done running jobs and stuff before, and that's in telly where you start off. And I think it's just the basics. You've just got to be on time.
Be on time is so important, isn't it?
It's honestly, that's my number one. My dad was Sergeant Major, so I had to be. So being on time.
Do you make your bed when you wake up?
I still do, yeah.
That's so weird.
He was never strict with us, right? It was always my mum that would give us proper bollockings, and we used to call her Screaming Skull. That was a nickname that my dad nicknamed her. But my dad was always a bit soft, but he could never be late. He'd say he'd pick you up from after bowling, say you were 10, 15 minutes late. He'd be like, I said fucking quarter past, what time? And he used to, so I've still got that in me from a kid.
Didn't you bite your brother's penis?
I bit his balls. Yeah, he put me in a headlock. You do listen to the podcast, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He bit his brother's bollock.
Yeah, he's now a paratrooper. Yeah. So I think I've had something in that. He's what they call
Do you think he tells that story to all the rest of the boys?
No, absolutely not. And when I meet all his mates, he's like, Don't
fucking tell.
He's like, don't be all show busy and stuff like that.
Wait, can we? Because I can't. I did listen to, obviously, but like, I can't remember the ins and outs. He's got you in a headlock, right? Your brother's having a tussle with you.
Having a tussle.
How have you got in a position where you've got next to his penis?
So he's,
and you've gone, I'm going to bite your bollocks.
We used to wrestle, but this weren't wrestle. This was a full on fight, probably over the Xbox or something. I don't know. I'm lying. I never.
Had you tried the shin kicking and it hadn't worked?
No, definitely. I say Xbox. I never used to play it. My brother's played Xbox. I were in another room reading Roald Dahl. I'm trying to be. So honestly.
You sit there with James and the Giant Peach. Leave me alone. Leave me alone.
Was. My mum used to go, when they'd come in, they'd all come in, scrap him and go, shh, Jordan's upstairs reading. honestly. Anyway, I can't remember what we're fighting for. And he's got me in headlock and he's proper choking me and I'm banging on the ceiling, and my mum and dad are just thinking, they had four boys, they're just thinking they're bringing it. And I was choking, so I thought, I'm going to die here. So I just bit his bollock. And I got grounded for 2 weeks for that.
How hard did you bite?
You spat the bollock out.
Yeah, pretty much. But we scrapped loads. And that was because of a story, because he, when I was doing my GCSEs as well, he used to torment me. We're really good mates now. I talked about this on the podcast recently, and that story came from it. You know, when you did your GCSEs, you had to have a see-through pencil case.
Yeah.
So I got my pencil case out and I said to the teacher, I'm going to need a pen and a ruler. And he went, we've told you in year 11 now, you need to start doing this. I went, I have got it, but I can't use it. He went, why? And I pulled it out and I went, my brother sprinkled his pubes into my pencil case. So he'd shaved his pubes the night before, knew I was proper worked up about this. I think it was a maths exam. Sprinkled his, and I just had a pencil case full of his pubes.
That is so joked.
I remember I went home to my dad just burst out laughing. High-fived him. I was like, fucking hell.
I'm going to do that to you. I'm going to sprinkle my pubes in your mouth.
When do you think I'm going to be doing my GCSEs then? For fuck's sake. Or when am I going to have a fucking pencil case?
I'm going to cook you a cake. I'm going to bake you a cake and have my pubes in the cake. So we're going to be even closer. I'm going to be part of you.
I don't know where you're going with this, because at what point do you think I would accept a cake from you?
I don't know. Maybe you are. Just, it's a cake, isn't it? You love a little pistachio cake, you do.
You're not. I don't accept anything you do, because I think there's going to be a reason behind it. Everything you do is either some sort of fucking way of winding me up.
Pete's so on edge now. Like, if I even be like, oh, Pete, like, why don't you come around mine? We'll just, like, hang out. He's like, I never come around to yours to hang out. Like, you're going to be doing something with me.
Yeah, I only see Sam if I'm contractually obliged or paid.
I know you've been asked this, something like, how did you just meet?
So let's go dating.
Of course, yes.
Let's go dating.
Of course.
We were both unlucky in love.
Yes.
Essex's Lothario Hardman, Peter James Wicks, was he'd just been dumped for probably cheating. And
This is not even the story.
And
I love it when Sam does this because it's nothing to do with the actual story.
And I had just been dumped myself. I just wasn't good enough. And
no, you got dumped because you cheated.
No, Pete, don't start fucking coming to me. Vicious lies. Basically, I walk over to Pete and I'm like, and I just see this beautiful looking man. And I'm just like, look, I'm just going to go and ask him for a couple of tricks of the trade being picking up ladies. And Pete went, you've got to look at him. So like I started just staring at him. And then Pete was like, well, don't do it like that. And then he taught me how to look at women. That wasn't a scary sort of vibe. And then we just hit it off from there.
I always say when I do, I always get asked to do voiceover and I want to do like a Rob Beckett style one.
He's fucking brilliant.
He ripped us apart.
He's ripped me apart every time I've done that show.
Pete's done it four times.
Fair play. He's brilliant.
He is really, really fun. I would love to have that kind of sort of job because he literally gets to go to town on you.
Mm. I did it for one show and then they cut it all. and they basically said, we're getting Rob Beckett vibes on this. I was like, yeah, that's what I'm trying to do. Like, it's not that sort of show. I was like,
that's so jokes though. Having the power to do that.
You did a voiceover, didn't you?
I did a voiceover.
What did you do for them?
For Ekin Sue and Davide's.
On ITV 2.
Yeah. Ian Stanley didn't want to do it clearly, and no one else obviously would put themselves forward. So I was like, I will. I went in and just like you, I found myself there going tonight, and I was like, fuck, I sound like Ian Stanley even though I'm not Scottish. It's so hard to not replicate.
Voiceovers are hard as well.
I was the voice of the Malteser Bunny over Easter for all the adverts.
Oh, really?
Oh, I remember that.
I think I remember that vaguely. I thought that was
velvety
Rylan.
Chocolate. I did all the Reddit. Yeah.
I thought that was right. Rylan.
Fucking hell, that's worrying. No, I had to do a really low, smooth, velvety chocolate covered in with that extra bite.
That was a few years ago,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah, a few years ago, yeah. That's the only, and I've never done any other voiceover work since then because I think it sounded creepy.
Is that what they say, creepy?
Well, I mean, they used it, but afterwards, I remember hearing it and then thinking, oh, that sounds a little bit weird.
Well, actually, on the subject of creepy, Jordan, like, you obviously, like...
yeah, must be talking about creep.
You're obviously creepy. No, that's not what I was saying. What I meant was, we're thinking about sort of, like, guests and stuff like that, and, you know, I want to get some of the TikTokers in, you know, some of the Gen Zers, right? But, like, they're quite young, and we're not getting any older... any younger, sorry. And it's like, do you think it's like the right move for us to sort of get those TikTok Gen Zers who sort of like, it's almost like we could be their dads podcast?
It'd be like a therapy session with Pete. I think it'd be great for them because they live in, and I know a lot of you, because when I was starting out on radio, a lot of people like radio's at its day. Everybody says that and it's not. And then there was the YouTubers and I've worked with a lot of YouTubers and TikTokers the same. And I hope they don't mind me saying this. They're in their own little world, their own little bubble.
Yeah.
They've got a lot of shit going on, a lot of them. And I think it'd be good to get one of them on here because they just, and a lot of people, so when I was starting out, a lot of people get YouTubers and like now they get TikTokers and put them on TV and radio and they don't quite work.
Yeah.
A lot of them struggle.
Yeah.
They know how to stay relevant, definitely.
See, this is the thing. I mean, I feel
stress.
It's you like digital. You don't.
I'm so bad on social. I'm
not as bad as Pete.
I'm awful on it. I don't like it, to be fair.
I don't like it. I fucking hate it. I don't have TikTok and all that bollocks. He does all that shit.
I've got like a burner TikTok account that I just watch when I'm on the toilet. I don't post anything. So basically, the podcast and Radio 1 now just send me videos and tag me in them, and I just post and it keeps me posted. I'd never post like me on holiday or anything like that.
What is it
you're
about?
You're great. You're really good.
Oh, I love it.
Jordan, I love it. And do you know what? That'll keep you relevant.
Yes, it
will. See me bringing it back round to the podcast.
But this is
that will definitely, I'd say, if you're listening right now, social media will keep you relevant. That got you the Love Island job. There's definitely a Channel 4 chat show in this. There is.
To be honest, we'd be lucky to get a Channel 5 show just after my £600 hamster.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's the only chance we've got of getting a fucking show. Just before my £600 hamster and I'm fucking my uncle or whatever I've got on fucking There's Channel 5.
We play a game on the radio called Five or Fake and we come up with some names you've got to work out if it's a Channel 5 show or not. Caravanning with Jane McDonald. And you're like, oh, I don't know. Is that actually a real
I think she did a boating one, didn't she?
She did a boating one, but not a caravanning one.
There's a show on Channel 5 about people who fell in love with theme park
machines. In that, I love it. When you're hungover, just put one of my favourite ever shows is Bargain Loving Brits in the Sun.
Oh, mate, I fucking love it. And they
brilliant.
Also, they also did another one that I found on, I think it was on Amazon or whatever the other day, which is Benefits Britain, where they give, but they give people the full year's worth of benefits, 26 grand at a time, and say, sign off and see if you can make a business out of it. And then they just let them go to town. And it's fucking brilliant.
I'd love that.
Mate, it's on Amazon at the minute. I think it's called Benefits Britain. I just find it fascinating.
Is it Ready, Set, Starter?
And there's Rich House, Poor House as well. So, yeah.
Would really open your eyes.
There's a wealthy family.
Yeah.
And then there's a family that they're either like low income or are struggling, and they swap lives. And then the wealthy family goes to live in their house, and then they have the same budget. So, like, the family on low income have about 6 grand to spend in a week. They're like, I don't know what to do here. And the other family are like starving by Tuesday.
It was a bit like, what was that show? Wife Swap. Do you remember that?
This was all great telling.
That they just can't really do anymore.
Why don't they do it anymore?
Because it's too risky, and there's too much red tape now to be able to do a lot of things.
It all kind of comes back round as well.
Like, yeah.
It'll be like a lot of that stuff's on Channel 5 now.
That Big Brother.
Yeah, like Bargain Loving Brits was basically ITV's Holiday Showdown. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
They used to swap holidays.
Yeah, that was good as well.
We did Antiques Road Trip.
I got asked to do that recently.
Jokes. It's so fucking fun.
It's a really big show.
Yeah, Pete broke the car.
So we had to dump it on a side road. And I was like, well, I don't know what to do. So we just ran away from it. And they filmed it and left it in. And then I fell in love with my antiques dealer, Margie. She was 70-odd years old and actually got her name tattooed on me.
No way!
Margie, on the show, and she tattooed a P on herself. Never had a tattoo before at 73. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, she was great.
Yeah,
that is how, by the way, I'd say staying relevant is sometimes you get offered to do stuff.
Pensioners.
Yeah, and shows, and you think, I can't, and you just got to do it because you've got to promote yourself, promote your radio show.
It was fucking awesome.
You've got to do them all. If you've got time, definitely do them, because you think, I could have a day off, but it's good. You should watch Bangers and Cash.
You guys both basically just love a little bit.
My Uncle Ian's in it as well.
Oh, really?
And he's like, I've been out with Uncle Ian, and people come up, and I'm thinking they're asking me for a selfie.
Bangers and Cash?
Yeah, and they go, are you Ian from Bangers and Cash? And he's like, yeah, that's me, love. And he's getting selfies in the pub.
Is it a bit like Wheeler Dealer?
Yeah.
I did their podcast the other week, Mike Brewer, who's done that Wheeler Dealer. He's basically had his show for about 20 years across Sky called Wheeler Dealer, which is basically him just buying and selling secondhand cars.
Yeah, that's what this is about. My uncle, he's on the show. He like gets them from one end of the country to another, and it's all about old cars. I think he's on like Dave or Watch or something like that.
One of my favourite channels, Dave.
Yeah.
Oh, fucking God, you are so old, Pete.
How old are you, Pete, if you don't mind me?
34.
Oh, I'm 30.
Are you nearly 35 yourself then?
I'd say 35.
You're 30, aren't you?
30, just turned 30, yeah.
You're so young.
So your podcast, which has been an absolute smash, 5 years, did you say earlier you've been going?
Yeah.
5 years. And what was the premise behind it? How did it come about?
Did you sext your boss?
No, William writes a lot of etiquette books, and he thought, I'm going to write one called Sex with My Boss. And then our friend, so basically it's four of us, me and William and two mates behind the scene, Ben and Stuart, I forgot his name then.
Good mate.
And Stuart said, we pitched it to Radio 1. They were looking for podcasts. And Stuart said, we should pitch you two together. This was before I was on Radio 1. And it didn't get past the first round of commissioning. And we did
a pilot.
You know
the feeling.
Yeah, we did the pilot. And my mate was like, you should do this. So we did like the odds. We did. I genuinely thought it had lasted for two series. And when we first started, we were like making the problems and dilemmas up. Or we were getting our friends to like say problems and dilemmas, because that's what the premise is. And then it's just over time, it's just built up. And it's mad. Like, I just can't believe how big and how many people listen to it. And it mainly helped because we started putting video clips on TikTok, which has helped. And I leave that to all the guys behind the scenes. But I went to New York last year and someone come up to me and they're like, oh my God, I love Help I Sext.
That's sick.
And I'm like, in New York, that's mad, blow my mind. But I say as well, it's of everything I do, it's the easiest thing I do.
Yeah.
Just tip up in the week, talk about how my week's been, give some advice and problems and dilemmas. And it's just turned into this massive thing.
What's the best dilemma you've ever had?
Mate, some of them are so shocking. So the best one that always makes me like, just, I think, how would you carry on living? A young lad was into older men, and he's on Grindr and he's chatting to an older man, and they're swapping, like they're talking about the fantasies and what they like to do.
Swapping dick pics,
I think, everything you can imagine. And then when they arranged to meet, they swapped face pics, and it was his dad.
Shut the fuck up. No, no, no.
I swear to God. William's reading the letter and I'm like, I remember saying, I think you just should go to therapy or something. What advice would you give to that, Pete? That's probably the one where I'm like, we've had many.
I mean, what advice would I get?
You weren't expecting that, were you?
What was his penis like?
I don't know.
Oh, what? Sorry, of all the questions.
And then a load of, and you know what TikTok's like and Insta, loads of people were coming and going, this ain't true, it's bollocks. I got our producer to get back in touch, like Aftercare, and they were speaking for a while. It was very much
true. I did a podcast called The Dating Show with CC for a couple of years, and we did a similar thing. Like, we used to have the end of the thing, like, you know, dating advice, because she did first dates for you, so she's seen lots of people dating, and obviously, I've dated a fair bit. So we just did a bit of a jokey thing, and we always used to say, listen, we're not experts, but fucking write in some stuff, yeah. And it got to the point where you were getting so much weird shit to come in that you would literally, some of them we couldn't actually, they were so bad that we couldn't actually fucking say. We had someone write in, and this is the thing, like when we first started that, we would make up little bits that you can just give, like rough, random bits of advice that are a little bit funny, but they're not that fucking out there. Like, that's when you know it's fucking so out there.
You had one that you were just about to say.
Again, we find out what stuff is. Like, a woman was going to a friend's house for dinner. They were helping them cook, and they went in the freezer, and there's two frozen turds in a bag. And it turned out the guy who was making dinner was into igluing, and I had no idea what igluing is, do you?
I thought you meant like igloos.
No, so basically where, I'm so sorry to anyone listening, and this is what we have to deal with in our podcast. I've got to remember, I work for the BBC as well. So it's basically where you freeze your shit and then...
Oh, and then, yeah. Use it, oh, is that what it's called, igluing?
Mm. Use it as a what?
Is it like a dildo?
Fuck off! No,
sweet and innocent.
Doesn't it melt?
Well, yeah.
No, it's frozen, isn't it?
But I imagine after a little bit of friction, it would start to just soften up.
You put it in a condom, I think.
I don't know.
I genuinely don't.
Is that the best way to do it, Jordan?
Jordan's face. I saw the why did I come on this show go through. No,
don't forget, William, who I do this with, is, you know, very prim and proper. When I first met him, he was teetotal. So he'd had his first drink when he was like 23, 24.
Wow.
He's never drunk a pint in his life. He's never had a can of Coke. He's never had Coca-Cola, Pepsi in his life. Yeah, he's very prim and proper. People think it's all a bit of an act, but he isn't.
I met him when you were in the jungle. I did your podcast,
yeah.
And he is the loveliest man.
He's really sweet.
He's so sweet.
He is an etiquette expert. And that's his main job. He teaches it. Well, before the pandemic, even now he teaches it.
God, can you imagine if he met me?
Oh, you'd be fun. Oh,
he'd kind of like, he would light you in a weird sort of way. He'd have an absolute,
in a weird sort of way where he has to for a little bit until I go and then go, what the fuck was that?
Yeah.
What the fuck was that? Some sort of fucking throwback.
In a weird sort of way, I think he would kind of like you.
I'd love to hear some of these stories.
Yeah, but you hate even the reviews. You hate reading the reviews.
Yeah, Jordan, I don't like... So basically...
Sam gets all precious about...
What? No, Jordan, what happens is... What will happen after this exact conversation, right, is that this will go out and everyone will be like, oh my God, I love Jordan, love Pete. And they'll be like, Sam can't stop fucking cutting in.
No, we get all that. You can't live by it. Like, I don't read.
That's why I was so
precious about my hair when I started, because stupidly, the other night, I couldn't sleep and started reading comments on the Radio 1 Insta page, and it was all about my barnet and my hair.
What did they say?
Oh, fucking, looks like he's got a wig on. It looks like a bird's nest. It's like, how bad's his comb over, that kind of thing. So now I was dead worried. But someone said he looked like he'd come on an open-top bus as well. Bastard.
Some of the best ones that I always get...
Don't read them.
Yeah, see, Sam gets really precious and does read them. But, I mean, I'm mainly... the majority of things that I get are fucking horrendous, if you look at Daily Mail and all them sort of things.
Yeah.
Because he looks like he needs a bath. He's about 60. My favourite one, which my mum actually sent to me because she really enjoys reading them, was he looks like he smells like a horse's hoof. And I thought I've never heard that one before, but I quite enjoyed that one.
You just don't read the comments. You'll learn to grow a thick skin, you will. An old saying that my grandma used to say, if you was everyone's cup of tea, you'd be a mug.
Yeah.
I love that!
Right? If you want to stay relevant, remember that.
Yeah,
everyone's going to like you. Look at biggest entertainers in the country, Ant and Dec. Read the comments about them on social media and stuff.
Yeah, we're going to knit their jobs.
But they still attract like 6-7 million viewers every night. No one's ever going to write a nice thing. are they? Like,
very good point. So obviously we're running out of time because we've waffled on about igloing and stuff.
Sorry.
But, no, we really enjoyed that sort of shit, but...
excuse the pun.
Very good pun.
Thanks. I didn't actually mean it. I wish I could take... I didn't actually mean that. That was quite good.
Hold it. Hold it.
What is going to be next for you? So you're doing the podcast. Is there something else you want to do? I mean, you've done great stuff on TV. You've pretty much conquered fucking radio.
I've made it no secret, and it's been my life ambition. But there's
sport punditry.
Pardon?
Sport punditry.
Sport punditry. No. Believe it or not, no.
One of those things where I've just cut
it. It would. No. You've got to tread carefully because my very good mate's hosting it. But I've always said I want to do the Radio 1 Breakfast Show.
Yeah.
And I've always wanted to do that. But...
So what have you thought about, like, sort of Poison, what?
No,
how are you going about it?
Well, I think, I mean, just all to say to anyone that's listening now, even if you're not into radio, you haven't listened to Radio 1 at the moment, listen to Greg James.
Oh, shut up. Don't sit there now and be like, he's just the best.
He genuinely is smashing it.
He's on his way out for you to take over, is that what you mean?
So I've always wanted to do that, but... A, it's when Greg decides he wants to leave.
Yeah.
And then when he does go, it's like, do they want me? Am I a bit on the wrong side of 30 for it?
So that's... How old are you?
33. 27, if anyone asks.
I love the way he thinks he's on the wrong side of 30 and you're 34.
You're same age.
Yeah.
Oh, same age. Older. So it might not happen, but that's my full life ambition.
Okay.
If I do that, I'll do that.
And is that because that was what Moyles did and that was
Icon?
Is that where you see the pinnacle of radio for you would be that?
Yeah.
And what about TV now that you're a fucking TV star?
I don't know, but I've always said this and it's, you know, and everybody, you speak to many people in the industry, I'd love to do like a Saturday night entertainment show or a quiz show, but again.
I just remembered. So Jordan came on after Sun last season. He was our first guest on the sofa and you went... One eye over there, one eye over there. Who was that to?
What the fuck are you going on about?
What were you on about?
Are you having a fucking meltdown?
Oh, yeah.
Was it?
No, I said there was a contestant on it and I went, you can't trust him when he's got one eye on the door and he's actually... He was...
it was.
And I got loads of shit on Twitter. And we put for a break. I looked at my Twitter, which I shouldn't have done. I was like, Sam's trying not to laugh. Who was? I felt really bad. And then I actually messaged someone from his family because they messaged me on Twitter and I said, look, I'm really sorry. I just made it worse. And I didn't even know. I didn't even know. I just went, well, he's got one eye on the door, hasn't he? And he's...
he said it live. And the funny thing is, he didn't know.
I'm so
me and Inge went, oh my God. And then he goes, no, that was a really good segment. And he goes in the Twitter, goes, oh, fuck. He didn't mean it. And it was completely innocent. It was the funniest fucking thing.
I forgot about that. And I got loads of crap. But I remember messaging someone from his family. I think it was his family.
Yeah, you've really just gone for it, mate. You've gone really red as well, mate. You're the same colour as the sofa.
Jordan, it's been a fucking pleasure having
bless
you here,
you.
Mate. Thank
good
you. Laugh. I know you're so busy giving us the time. It's very sweet.
Look, I'd love to go for a beer with you as well. We'll definitely have a beer.
Yeah, but we had this problem with Laura Woods. She said she wanted to go for a beer. We then followed that up and she didn't reply.
You've seen what's just happened as the Whitehall's just left. Sam thinks he's popping around for tea. What he'll now do is just harass them, but it's one of them things people politely do when they go, yeah, we'll go for a drink. They don't really mean it. Sam thinks everyone means it.
I
think we're onto one here.
We'll go for a beer.
Do it.
We've got a lot in common. It'll keep our agent happy as well.
Yeah.
Shout out,
yeah.
Seb.
Well, you'll probably see each other. Nah, fuck Seb and John. The old Chuckle Brothers. Fuck them.
Oh, do you know what? Actually, do you know what? I just need to.
Oh, you with Johnny? Johnny.
And with Johnny and Seb.
It's Johnny and Seb. Oh,
because I need a bit more help than you, mate. Yeah, they've had to bring
actually, in. Just on that note, then, being with the same agency, are you the reason that Sam gets no work then? Because. Is that the main... Because I know you've been complaining about it.
Do you know who I say my nemesis is? You know, I've got like a work nemesis, yeah. Roman Kemp. And he did make... And the funny thing is, he didn't even know I existed when he was my work nemesis. I'd literally be like that fucking Roman Kemp.
Yeah.
And
he used to have the same agency as we were all...
Mate, he's lovely. He'd walk past me and be like, you're right, mate.
Oh, he's great, yeah.
And I'd be like, you wanker. No reason at all. No reason
you'll
at
have,
all.
Apparently, someone very famous on this, you'll always have that throughout your career. They'd be like, if you don't get it, it'll be someone else.
Yeah.
And it's so true.
Who's yours then?
Roman Kemp. If I don't get some, and he's, do you know what? He's actually, and I'm not just saying it, he's a good guy.
He is a nice guy.
We did a week of Slink together, and it's the first time proper met, and we had a good few beers.
Did you go up to Glasgow to do it?
Yeah.
We both did that.
And we had a good few beers, but it's, if I don't get some, it's usually Roman, but I think you'll get.
It's so funny,
like,
though.
It's like actors as well.
Yeah, I'm sure.
If Taron Egerton don't get somewhere, it'll be someone else.
Yeah.
But he always gets that job.
Just really briefly, because I know you got to go. So Jordan is the guy that I stole his seconds with his clothes.
Stop.
Yes, Jordan.
No, mate.
Yeah, so basically.
Did you not know this?
So you know you have this stylist, right?
Oh, right. I've never spoke publicly about my stuff.
Oh, shit. Okay. Sorry. Well, look, I've
the spoke, amount of shit I'm going to get from this now.
I spoke about your stylist for you a few months ago, basically. But I don't know if you use her anymore. You've probably gone
Sarah,
on.
Yeah, she sorted me out for Big Weekend.
So basically. Basically, I got told when I went on After Sun, they were like, mate, you look like shit.
Right.
They were like, you've got to go and get a stylist, right? And said, well, don't worry, I've got you. And so basically, I got this lady called Sarah, who is absolutely
fantastic.
Lovely. And it's so funny because I looked at myself in the mirror and I went, and Seb showed me a photo of you. And I went, fuck me, I look like a smaller Jordan North. And look at us now. We're wearing the same fucking open-top shirt.
So, right, and I did that. And if you're listening to this, probably thinking, you've got a stylist, you tits, right? Someone said the same thing to me. And it's the best money I've ever spent. All they do is you think you know what you look good in, and you tell them what you like. And Sarah's always trying to get me to venture out a bit. And then she'll get you somewhere. And then you see yourself on telly, you're like, this is why everyone has a stylist or a costume department. Because they know what looks good on telly.
Mate, it was the best thing ever. Though. You walked in, I went, fuck me, we're wearing the same shirt.
We were.
So what you'll find out next week is Sam will be wearing that exact black shirt.
I do that.
So basically, I'm not Seb, our agent we've mentioned. I copied this off him. We went for a meeting the other week. I went, where's that from? He went, Arquette. So I went in Arquette and got it.
I do that with Pete. Yeah. I do that with Pete. If Pete ever buys anything, goes, oh, I like this hoodie, I'll go and get it as well.
Pete's like, I have got two dickheads with me right now.
Yeah, but you've got two dicks. Jordan, who works for the BBC. Jordan, it has been a fucking pleasure having
Thank
you, mate.
You.
Thank you so much. And if we, or if I could be anything like you,
mate,
I would be so happy.
That's really sweet. Bless you.
Yeah, that's really sweet. But I'll just be your mate. You know what I mean?
Nice one.
I'm quite happy with that, pal.
And if you want to go for a beer, we'd love to.
We'll definitely get that beer.
Yeah. I'll get in touch because Pete doesn't normally sort of do the DMs. So I'll DM and then...
We're not a couple.
We are, though, really.
He literally talks for us now, like we're an actual couple.
It's sweet.
When we do out of deck shit, we've got our own side.
We're not.
Oh, I've got.
Yeah. That is true. To
me, we're really trying. We're really trying. So we thought we'd have
to decide that both of us look least bald on. So that's how we picked it.
Is it Pete and Sam or Sam and Pete?
Pete and Sam.
Yeah. Do you know what you've said to me for a long time that he's a really nice guy, and he's a thoroughly, thoroughly nice guy. I do think he was only here because you have the same agent.
So do I, but he put in such a mammoth shift as well.
Yeah, there was a point halfway through where I think he regrets being here, and he will probably have a go at his agent, who will then have a go at you.
Yeah, that's the best thing. I've begged, borrowed and stolen to have Jordan on this podcast. I can't wait for our agent to turn around and be like, never again.
How do you feel? Is there like a bit of rivalry within the agency? Because obviously you, Jordan and Roman, because he mentioned that that's his sort of nemesis as well, because obviously presumably those guys are so much better than you. Do you think it's hard for you to get any work when you're competing within your own agency?
I was going to say, I do feel like I almost shot a little bit too high with the nemesis. If Roman's Jordan's nemesis, mine needs to be far lower. I was like, oh wow, I've really shot for the stars there with my nemesi.
Nemesi.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you should stick with the original nemesis, which is Jedward.
Yeah, I think Jedward, I'm coming for you. But no, he's the nicest guy, and he's almost too nice. You know when you're sitting there going, I just want to just hug you.
Yeah, he's basically done everything that you want to do.
Hey, mate, but also, you see how much he loves what he does? Yeah. I rate that so highly. I think that's so cool. Like, he's like, I've always just wanted to do radio.
Yeah, I just want to get paid.
I thought you were going to say pissed. Thank you for listening. Follow us on YouTube. We come out every single Friday.
I think you subscribe on YouTube.
Subscribe, actually.
You're supposed
YouTube.
To be the one that knows all.
I know, I'm panicking now. Subscribe on YouTube. We come out every single
Friday.
You call
it a plane?
We have extra bits everywhere. So you can follow us on TikTok at Staying Relevant TikTok. Follow us on Instagram at Staying Relevant Instagram handle. And we really, really like you.
Yeah, like, rate, review, and all that crap as well. Ta-da.
You legends.
Insanity Group.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.